This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This is the LA Local Evening Update, keeping you caught up with the latest from KNX News. Check back each weekday afternoon for the LA Local's full daily briefing on what you need to know in SoCal.
Good afternoon, I'm Rob Archer. A hospital in LA announces it will comply with President Trump's executive orders on transgender issues. And we'll take a closer look at the president saying that the U.S. will take over Gaza. But first, a Hollywood producer has been found guilty of murder in the overdose deaths of a model and her friend, and also the sex assaults of seven other women. A mistrial was declared in the case of his accused accomplice. Karen Adams has more on that from downtown L.A.
The jury took 2.5 days to find David Pierce guilty of murdering model Chrissy Giles and her friend Hilda Cabrales Arzola in 2021 and sexually assaulting seven other women who came forward. Giles' mother, Dusty, says she's glad the case wasn't written off as just another accidental overdose.
Letting the world know that my daughter was not a party girl. She was not a slut. She was not all the things that the defense called her. She was not that at all.
And she's glad to see the other women got justice too.
The Jane Does finally had their day in court and were believed and were supported by each other's stories, which matched that of Christie's and Hilda's. And I'm glad that they finally had their day in court, and I grieve for them. For how many years that they dealt with the pain and the shame alone. And they need to know that they are worthy. They are all worthy.
Pierce drugged Giles and Cabrales Arzola back in 2021. Prosecutors say to rape them, then waited hours before getting help to dump their lifeless bodies at separate hospitals. One person testified Pierce told him, "Dead girls don't talk." A mistrial was declared in the case of Pierce's co-defendant, Brant Osborne. In downtown L.A., I'm Karen Adams, KNX News, 97.1 FM.
A man's been shot to death near North Hollywood Park. Cops responded to Tujunga and Magnolia this afternoon. After there were reports of shots being fired, the victim was pronounced dead at the scene. The LAPD says a man was spotted running away before the cops got there. Two other people were arrested, possibly related to the shooting. LA County has a message for people who are inconvenienced by the closure of PCH. They say get used to it. Brian Ping reports.
Closures of the stretch of PCH through the Palisades fire zone will be the norm through the remainder of the rainy season. Mark Pistrella, the head of LA County Public Works, tells us cleanup of the fire area is an enormous undertaking, and the highway will be subject to closure at any given moment while that goes on.
We're going to have ongoing threat of landslide, debris, and mud flow, even when it's not raining. And then when we introduce any amount of rain, especially cumulative rain over the season, the residents can expect that PCH will be closed many, many times going forward. And that's because we see a direct threat to people, their property, and to the environment, given what we've been left with after this fire.
Pistrella advises the state, which makes the call on when to close PCH. He hopes the cleanup will be complete and the highway will be back to normal status within a year. I'm Brian Peng, KNX News 97.1 FM.
The mayor of LA has issued an emergency executive order to cut red tape for students, schools, and child care facilities displaced by the fires, and that schools taking on extra kids can do so without any obstacles. Mayor Bass says this order is going to speed up the process of reopening campuses. Enrollment caps are being raised by 20%, and schools damaged or destroyed by the fires are going to be able to get a 180-day permit, allowing them to relocate and operate anywhere in the city. Right now, those permits only last for 90 days. An LAPD sergeant behind bars in Orange County for his role in a fatal hit-and-run over the weekend. Pete DiMatteo has the story.
18-year veteran Sergeant Carlos Coronel was originally arrested on Sunday after an investigation into a fatal accident which killed 19-year-old Emmanuel Gonzalez of Santa Ana. Tustin police followed up on leads and arrested Coronel after he reported for work at LAPD's Newton Division station over the weekend. Now, the LAPD has acknowledged the arrest. They released a statement indicating the sergeant's alleged involvement in a felony hit and run was not only disturbing, but it betrays the trust of the public in law enforcement officers. And the department will continue to cooperate with Tustin police and the Orange County DA's office as the investigation continues. Coronel, according to court records, reportedly had pled no contest to a misdemeanor DUI count 14 years ago, but it's not clear what impact that might have on the prosecution of current charges against him. I'm Pete DiMatteo, KNX News 97.1 FM.
Children's Hospital Los Angeles announcing it's going to pause the start of new hormonal therapy treatments for gender-affirming care patients under the age of 19. Officials say they make the move in the wake of President Trump's executive orders targeting treatment for transgender youth. Hospital says it's going to maintain an existing pause on gender-affirming surgeries for minors. Jorge Reyes-Salinas of Equality California tells us he thinks this move is alarming and decisions about medical care should be made between doctors and families.
Every single treatment of transgender health care for minors requires parental consent. Ensuring that families are actively involved in approving any medical interventions following a medical professional's guideline. And I think something that's very important for people to understand is that transgender healthcare does not automatically start with puberty blockers or transitioning surgeries. We're talking about assessments, family assessments, child's assessment, mental health assessment, conversations, psychologists being involved.
But Jonathan Keller of the California Family Council tells us his group opposes surgery and treatments.
In many cases, parents do trust doctors and they do believe what doctors are telling them is in the best interests of their children. And that's why I think it's especially important for doctors and hospitals to not follow the latest scientific fads and the ideology-driven medicine that, sadly, we've seen really happen over the last 5 to 10 years. The absolute explosion of these so-called gender clinics at hospitals around the country, it really belies belief.
The hospital says any patients currently on hormonal treatments will be able to keep getting that treatment. We're going to have Palestinian reaction to President Trump's latest remarks about the Gaza Strip. That's coming up as Nonstop News at 5 continues. Presented by My Lemon Law Lawyer. It takes limit of 40333 for a free case review. Back now to President Trump talking about the Middle East after a meeting with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu at the White House.
The U.S. will take over the Gaza Strip, and we will do a job with it, too. We'll own it.
The president also says all Palestinians in Gaza, more than 2 million people, should leave and permanently relocate somewhere else. Joining us now is UCLA Middle East expert Ben Rad. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
What do you make of the president's comments the U.S. is going to take over Gaza Strip? Who owns that land now, and do they have the legal authority to give it to President Trump?
Well, technically right now, nobody owns it. It's under international law. It's considered occupied territory, and it's supposed to be part of a future negotiated settlement between the Israelis and the Palestinians or the Palestinian Authority. So really, President Trump, Benjamin Netanyahu, no single world leader has the authority to delegate or designate what becomes of the territory.
And do you think he's being serious when he says that the U.S. is going to own the Gaza Strip, or do you think that he's just trying to get some reaction?
I mean, it could be a little bit of both. It definitely is a attempt to get some reaction out of the public and to essentially the optics of the situation. But there very well could be a deal in the workings that the public doesn't know about. Maybe he's working something with the Saudis and the Emiratis and other regional Arab powers to redevelop and do something with Gaza that we don't know of yet. Maybe it's a negotiating tactic. I mean, any of these things with Donald Trump are viable options.
Let's go back to when President Biden was in office, tried very hard, as many Democrats did, to walk the tightrope between support of Israel, which is longstanding U.S. policy, and also addressing what they call the humanitarian crisis in the Gaza Strip, as Israel had responded after those horrific October 7th attacks. And not quite successfully was President Biden able to pull it off, because he got a lot of opposition from some people more on the further left who were very upset with him for his not supporting the Palestinians enough. Now that we have President Trump in office, do you think that's come back towards basically it's really just about supporting Israel and that is U.S. policy? And now President Trump is talking about, well, Palestinians, they should just go somewhere else.
Well, several conditions have now changed. There is Trump's victory in his second term, the fact that he has not made any secret of his close association with the Israeli government, specifically Netanyahu. You have members of his cabinet and a large segment of his voting base that favors the right-wing Israeli position. You have Trump's closer relations with the Saudis and other Gulf states and possible peace and trade and development opportunities there. And then you also have the death of Hamas leader Yahya Sinwar, which opens up some space now for, it's not the United States and Israel, but others to take positions that they could not take 6 months ago, 12 months ago, when President Biden was in office. So all of these factors come into play.
UCLA Middle East expert Ben Rad, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
Palestinians not very happy with what President Trump had to say about Palestinians leaving the Gaza Strip and settling somewhere else. We'll dig into that.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code SHAVE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code SHAVE. Enjoy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen, alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. 5 times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Palestinians are rejecting President Trump's proposal of an American takeover of the Gaza Strip. And earlier, the president has suggested that Palestinians in Gaza relocate to other countries. For a Palestinian perspective, KNX News chief correspondent Charles Feldman called up Youssef Munayir, director of the Palestine-Israel program at the Arab Center in Washington, D.C.
Yeah, I mean, the thing I think we need to keep in mind here is that we cannot look at this as a normal sort of diplomatic engagement between two world leaders. This is, at the end of the day, a convicted felon in Donald Trump welcoming to the White House an indicted war criminal in Benjamin Netanyahu. And this should be seen as the beginnings of a criminal enterprise. These two men are sitting down together to plot the next series of crimes that they are going to engage in. And what we heard from Donald Trump now was a very clear call to ethnic cleansing, yet another war crime. He seems to be perfectly fine with. Any member of the sensible world out there needs to speak out against and reject.
Now, of course, ethnic cleansing, and I'm sure you use that phrase deliberately, but it's also a very serious, as you know, and harsh phrase. So explain why you chose that.
Well, he's being quite frank about it. He's talking about the expulsion of nearly 2 million Palestinians from the Gaza Strip. And I think it's also important to keep in mind here that this has long been a goal of Israel. If you listen to what many people around the government and government officials have been saying, you know, the objective has been to make Gaza uninhabitable and effectively force people from their homes. So this is something that the Israelis have kind of been hoping for, and now they have, you know, a willing partner in this criminal enterprise in the White House and Donald Trump.
You know, making a presidential statement is one thing. Having it translate into real world action is, of course, quite another. And I think most presidents find this out. Do you think that what Trump said today is actually going to happen?
Maybe it will after Mexico finally pays for the wall that he was supposed to build. I don't know. But I do know when you have the president of the United States making statements like this, it's important. And we can't pretend that it's not happening either. This is, at the end of the day, the leader of the most powerful country in the world, a country that has been enabling the Israeli military to carry out this kind of horrific destruction on the ground in Gaza, and a country which has a tremendous amount of leverage over other players throughout the region. So, Donald Trump says a lot of things that don't ultimately materialize, that aren't based in reality, but we also can't dismiss it either, especially given the reality on the ground and the kind of leverage that is going to be brought by both of these players, the United States and Israel, to try to press other people into going along with this ethnic cleansing. I don't think the world is going to stand for it. I know that players throughout the region are certainly not going to stand for it. But that doesn't mean that they're not going to try, Donald Trump and Benjamin Netanyahu. So we have to be wary of it. The other thing that I would say in this regard is, this is kind of a marker of where we have come in terms of the respect for the rule of law, for human rights, for things like sovereignty, for things like self-determination. These principles that used to define the old world that the United States claimed to lead at one point, they're all being thrown under the bus.
That's Youssef Munayyer, director of the Palestine-Israel Program at the Arab Center in Washington, D.C. Quick check of the markets. The Dow closed up today, 134, S&P up 43, NASDAQ up 262. Now the business of entertainment reporter, Bloomberg's Karen Moscow.
The movie industry is hoping for a better year after 2024 turned out to be a rough one. Bloomberg's Lucas Shaw writes the Screen Time newsletter.
Revenue is down in the U.S., I think 3 or 4%. The global number is 10%. China, which is the second biggest market after the U.S., was down more than 20%. Japan was down about 17%. Australia and Germany and a lot of these countries were worse than the U.S.
Shaw says the writer's strike was one reason ticket sales were down in the U.S., but it doesn't explain the rest of the world.
There's currency issues. I think this habit, and maybe people just going to fewer movies, it's very troubling, I think, for the industry in general, because there was this desire that eventually coming out of the pandemic that it would get back to the size that it was before, and it just doesn't seem to be going that way.
There's hope for a bounce back this year with at least 110 movies slated for wide release, up from 94 last year. That according to figures from ComScore and the National Association of Theater Owners. I'm Bloomberg's Karen Moscow from the Barrister Office Suite's Money Desk on KNX News 97.1 FM.
That's your nonstop news 5 for Tuesday, presented by My Lemon Law Lawyer. Text LEMON to 40333 for a free case review.